Well, we come now to God's Word, and do grab a Bible. Always brilliant if you can have one to hand. If not, please don't panic. Try and remember for next week, but the words will appear on the screen for this week. Just always good to have your noses in it if you can. And we're turning to Psalm 34. And that might come as a surprise, but I shared on Wednesday evening, we had a slight change to the schedule for the sermon series over this term. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 34 for the next four Sundays. And it follows on really well in many ways from where we were last week with Jesus instructing us in how to pray. And Psalm 34 is a prayer in the songbook of the Bible. And we're going to have a visiting speaker, so to speak. So the Reverend Andy Mason, just south of the water at a church in London, has kindly pre-recorded four talks. And we're going to have those for the next four Sundays. I'll read the passage. And then we'll cut straight to Andy, who will be preaching Psalm 34 for us. So let me read from Psalm 34. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Well, crises get us talking about prayer, don't they? Many will accept some kind of prayer in a crisis. They may be a lapsed churchgoer. They may even be an atheist. But when it comes to a crisis, many will pray. Now, of course, the challenge is not just talking about prayer. It is actually praying. It's actually praying. Not just giving lip service to prayer, but actually seeking God in prayer. Talking about praying will do us no good. We have to actually pray and seek God. So this crisis is a brilliant opportunity for us, a brilliant opportunity to learn to pray and to seek God. Now, the social media has been full of lots of things that people have been learning during lockdown, learning Greek or getting a six-pack or learning how to bake muffins or knit a new jumper. But wouldn't it be so much better if we learnt to pray? Now, we're going to spend the next few weeks in one part of the Bible that is all about prayer, the book of Psalms. And we're going to zero in on Psalm 34, which is one long account of prayer and the impact of prayer on King David. King David was a great king. He was the greatest king in the Old Testament, but he was also a very needy king, a man who learnt to pray. And we see as we go through the Psalms that he was very embattled. He had many enemies and he had to learn to depend upon God. Now, in the book of Psalms, we've got a whole lot of prayers written down for us from King David as he learnt to pray. And some of these prayers are praise, some are petition, asking for God to intervene, some are thanksgiving. But the big point is that this king, he coped through prayer. He coped with the crisis through prayer. And Psalm 34 is all about an answered prayer that King David experienced in his life. You can read all about what had happened in the top bit of the psalm. It's called the superscription. And it describes there how King David had a run-in with another king called Abimelech. It probably refers to 1 Samuel 21, to the king Achish. And basically, David had got into a big muddle. He had a big problem with this king, and he had to pretend that he'd lost his mind in order to escape. And in the middle of that, he prayed, and God set him free. He'd been in real trouble. He'd been threatened, and he prayed and sought God in that trouble, in that crisis. Now, today, we're just going to look at the first three verses of this psalm. So I'm just going to read these three verses again for us. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And we're going to look at three things from these verses. Praise in all circumstances, praise at all times, and praise with others. Okay, so there's your three points. First point, praise in all circumstances. Now, difficult times don't naturally draw out our rejoicing, do they? When you're down and discouraged and depressed, you're not naturally buzzing with joy and delight. If we do pray when things are difficult, it's normally requests. We're asking for stuff. We're calling upon the Lord to intervene, to change something. If we've been praying now in this crisis, that's probably a lot of what we've been praying. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong about doing that kind of prayer. And in the weeks ahead, we'll look at that kind of prayer. There's lots in this psalm about petitioning God. But these verses, these first three verses, are not petition, are they? They're not asking God for stuff. They're praise. They're glorying in and rejoicing in the Lord. This is praise. This psalm begins with praise. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? How much do we actually praise the Lord, exalt the Lord, glorify the Lord? You know, apart from when you're in church, when you're gathering with other believers, do we actually praise? Okay, but we might say, look, you know, fair enough, but David wasn't living in a pandemic. He wasn't worried about being infected. He wasn't trying to cover the bills. He wasn't trying to cope with his kids at home. It's okay for him to praise, but not for us. But just remember kind of the context for this psalm. This psalm didn't float down from some kind of sea of tranquility. It came in a life of struggle, didn't it? David had had his life threatened by a pagan king. And look carefully at verse 2. What does it say in verse 2? Let the afflicted rejoice. The afflicted, the suffering, the broken. This isn't praise from some kind of ivory tower or suburban safety. This is about practicing praise in the middle of suffering, in affliction, in trial, in tribulation. These verses teach us actually to practice praise in the middle of problems and pandemics. Okay, yeah, but we might say, well, you know, David was the kind of enthusiastic type. He just kind of got carried away. He's naturally a bit over the top. Well, no, actually, Praise comes everywhere in the book of Psalms. The Psalms are filled with both affliction and praise. And strikingly, they don't kind of cancel each other out. The praise doesn't kind of leapfrog over the trouble and pretend it's not there, but neither does the trouble stop the praise. The afflicted rejoice. Many psalms start with trouble and afflictions and problems, but then move to praise. In fact, some people have said that actually, if you read through the book of Psalms, you see there's a gradual movement towards praising God. There's lots of stuff about suffering at the beginning, and it ends kind of with lots of excited praise at the end. All prayer, in other words, at the end of the day, will turn into praise. Our groaning and our struggles and our crying out now will turn into praise in heaven with the Lord Jesus. So you see, these verses show us that our praise is not really ultimately about our circumstances. It's rather about the God we know in our circumstances. Circumstances change. Troubles and problems and pandemics come and go, but our God is the same God. His goodness, his love, his mercies, his listening ear, they stay the same. They stay the same. His glory is the same. His worth is the same. His holiness is the same. We know the same God that we knew in 2019, don't we? The God we praised then is the same God that we praise now. And he will be the same God in 2030 and 2456. We praise not because of how life is, but because of who God is. We praise in all circumstances. That's the first point. Second point, praise all the time. Now, there may be big moments in our lives that impact us and shape us. You know, there may be a particular difficulty or time of suffering that we've battled with. This time now, these months here will shape us, won't they, in years to come. But it may be more positive things, you know, wedding days or the birth of a child, a new career path. We are shaped by particular moments in our lives. But what we may miss in the middle of that is the importance of everyday little habits. And I want to suggest to you that what we do regularly, every day, impacts us far more often than the seemingly big things in our lives. The small little habits like smoking cigarettes, eating a piece of fruit, listing up the things to be thankful for. They're small things. In and of the moment, they're not obviously life-defining, but you do them every day, do them for a long period of time, and they will shape your life. Regular habits have a massive effect upon our lives. And here in these verses, we get to see a very important habit, the habit of praise. We read in verse 1 that I will extol the Lord at all times. And then his praise will always be on my lips. It's regular, isn't it? It's continued, it's ongoing. Not just a thought, not just a passing whim. But David deliberately does something with his mouth. He praises God. It's on his lips. He says it. He sings it. This is a man who is continually opening his mouth to praise God. Now, it's clearly not the only thing he did. You know, David didn't live in a monastery, but he was a king running a kingdom. He was a busy man. He had all the busy things a king had to do. But in the middle of that, this was a prioritized habit. His life had a priority of praise. Now, I don't know whether that feels a bit like a burden. You know, it's just one more thing in your inbox. You know, it's just, here's another sermon adding more pressure to my life. You know, it feels like someone telling you to do 5 press-ups all through the day. Well, that isn't really what's going on here. You see, praise is not like doing press-ups. Praise isn't a slave being told to compliment a hard master. See, praise is about recognizing the goodness of God. Let's remind ourselves are the good reasons to praise our God. You see, this psalm tells us that God is good. We're told in verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. This is a God who is good, and this is a God who will be saving you forever. There will be praise forever because God's goodness goes on forever. Your praise will never exhaust his goodness to you. Never exhaust his goodness for you. You will praise him continually. I want you to imagine for a moment looking at a beautiful sunset. And you gaze at this sunset. You know, it's real, it's orange, it's glowing, it's beautiful. And what do? Well, you look at it, don't you? And you say to the person next to you, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nice? Look at that. Look at that sunset. You might take a photo or put it on social media. See, what are you doing in that moment? You're praising the sunset. You're looking at its beauty and you are enjoying it. And when you talk about it, when you take the photo, when you put it on the internet, you are increasing your enjoyment of the sunset. You're going deeper into it. You see, praise is like that. Praising God is like that. It arises from what you're seeing, spiritually speaking. And as you praise God, you are enjoying him more and more. You're going deep into who God is. You're looking at this magnificent God and you're saying, isn't he magnificent? See, the habit of praise is about looking up and looking out. It's getting us to stop navel gazing and to look at reality, to look at the one who is all around us. You see, we might think, well, we don't praise God because we don't have much joy in God. And there's lots of truth in that. That's absolutely true. But it may also be that we don't have loads of joy in God because actually we don't praise God. And maybe the praising of God, far from being a burden, will actually increase our enjoyment of God. That's point number two. Third point. Praise with others. Praise with others. I don't know if you care about football or when you last went to a football match, but you will know that at some point in a football match, the fans almost invariably sing, don't they? They may never sing anywhere else, but grown men out of tune will shout at the top of their voices and cry out. And there's something, isn't there, about doing that together that is very bonding. It kind of keeps the fans together. But you know, we've got something better to sing about than football. We've got something so much better. But the dynamic is actually the same. See, when we praise God together, it unites us. It draws us together. And this psalm has an invitation in it. Verse 3, it says this, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. See, David's not just into praise for himself. It's not like a specialist habit, a quirky habit or hobby that he's got, but he invites us to join in, to become part of something bigger, to be a community. And see, lots of the Psalms are not meant to be used by individuals, but they're meant to be used by a group. It's group praise. This is a community. And when you gather church, when we gather as church, we are gathering to praise God together, even if it's online. Even if it's online. So it's great to watch a video of something. It's great to watch a Christian album and sing at home. Those are great things to do. But we're called to praise God together. We are people bonded together by praise. And of course, we're living in a strange time, aren't we? Well, we can't gather in a normal way. And yet, somehow, we can find ways of connecting with one another, coming together in order to exalt our God. So here we have a psalm that is inviting us to praise God in the middle of the pandemic. It's not something the world is ever going to do. It's not what what you and I might naturally do. But remember, your God has not changed in 2020. His goodness hasn't changed. His gospel hasn't changed. His merciful ways haven't changed. He's still the living God. And he's still wonderfully worthy of our worship. You're invited here to actually do what you will be doing forever. Praising God, extolling God, exalting God. And remember, you're not a slave being asked to compliment a rather hard master, but you are simply being invited to look at your beautiful God, at your good God, and to say, isn't he amazing? Come on, come and look at him. Isn't he amazing? And by doing that, you will increase your happiness in him forever. Let's praise God in the middle of our pandemic. Let's pray. Our living God, we do exalt you now. We praise you, for you are truly wonderful. You are amazing, more beautiful than any other thing we know in our lives or see in this world. Open our eyes, living God, open our eyes today to see you, that we might be a people full of praise in the middle of a deadly pandemic. Amen.